Why is it that so many of the second round picks around the NFL have not been signed?
Well, that part is easy. It's because they're going for full guarantees. And the Browns' first second round pick got that. Houston signed theirs first, and they're going for full guarantees, and that's kind of new.
Why are there so many second round draft picks not signed?
It's because they're all going for full guarantees, Ken. That's because the first two to sign got them. So they want that.
I innocent mistake. Sure. One time. What are you going to use that? Hold that against them the rest of the show?
Yes, why would I keep doing it?
Yes, he will.
Well, it was. It would be an innocent mistake if it was one time. But hey, what are you going to do? We got more audio.
All right, let's move on to a player that's been talked about recently. Seems like everybody's been weighing in on whether the Browns should sign David Njoku to an extension. Is he a Cleveland Brown in 2026?
Well, he probably has to be because of how much money he takes up on the cap, whether he's on the team or not. Right, but he has to have the David Njoku year of 2 years ago because you couldn't possibly extend him if he has last year's year. And we'll have to see what he wants and where it is.
I thought it was good.
You know, I think there's a chance that David Njoku gets 150 targets on this team.
Chances David Njoku gets signed.
Oh my God, I can't believe this!
We have to let that. How he's going to be healthy.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
Sure, like I said, I will not be surprised.
Come out and say it. Did Zach think it was a bit?
Let me come out and say it. I am distracted. I am distracted. I'm getting texts. I will admit this wholeheartedly. I hate to say this. No,
it's the football guy.
I'm distracted because I got a thing coming up on Friday, and I didn't care about it until now. I'm like, oh, my God, it's going to happen on Friday, and this is going to be a weird experience.
What do you have on Friday?
Well, I'm having an operation done that I really can't call a surgery. Oh. Lyman doesn't want me to call
You're
it a surgery.
A surgery?
Lyman's like, you can't call it a surgery, or I don't think you can really call it a surgery. I'm going,
like,
well, I don't want to say the name for it.
You're going to be in the hospital for, what, 3-5 days?
I'm going to be in the hospital for about, what, a half an hour? Is what you said?
I think 20 minutes was pretty good.
You
as long as you don't have to
20
wait.
20 minutes?
In and out, 20, drove home.
And you're trying to call 20 minutes a surgery?
Because I don't want to say the word for it. I don't want to keep talking about it.
Well, there's
obviously
another word for it.
Yeah, I'm getting a vasectomy, okay?
No, there's another word for it that doesn't mean surgery.
What do you say?
I would just say I'm having a procedure done.
I think that sounds more serious, though.
A little outpatient procedure.
A procedure sounds
say
a little...
it's outpatient, man. There's a difference.
And then when it's over, he needs to issue a press release and say... It was successful.
I went in a successful vasectomy. Well, we don't know for weeks.
You actually don't know, and there's only one way to find out if you want to give people the intimate details of what you need to be doing over the next when you heal up, what you need to be doing.
Nose
to the grindstone.
You know, I gotta find Spice Channel on Squiggles again. And got to go through all that. Yeah, I don't like calling it that. And I am distracted. I'm sorry. I apologize to Zach.
We will issue on Friday. Ken Carmen has undergone a successful testicular sterilization.
If it goes down in the morning, I'm going to call you guys on the way home.
Yeah, you'll be able to do that.
I'm going to call you guys on the way home.
So I'll tell you this. Like, this is when it started to hit. I didn't think about it at all. People would ask me about it, and I just kept putting it off. And part of me thought, because it had been moved around a couple times, I'm like, it's never really happening. So that's how I dealt with it. And then about week of, stuff got real serious.
Yeah.
You start really thinking about what is going to be going on, the whole process.
I just think this is going to be so bizarre. Because I'm going to, like, do they put a partition up, or am I going to be able to see this?
They actually do, like, 8 guys at once. You'll all be in there at this. That'd be amazing. Guys are doing a sports talk roundtable.
Well, the guy who's doing it.
Henry Ford invented a new way to do.
The doctor who's doing it is a listener.
Oh, good.
He is a listener.
Okay.
Yes. But he said there's, like, two incisions? Yeah. I think I'm getting mine done the same way you did.
Yeah.
I asked for the Lima special.
That was the one thing
exact question that Lima's asked twice today. You might as well say, hey, give me the Lima on this one, too.
So I will say, like, after my doctor got done with one side, I'm like, he's like, okay, that's it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess, yeah, you could just go in there and then, you know, handle it. And then he goes down past my right foot. Walks over and goes, all right, we're now ready to start on the left side. Like, oh yeah, gosh. Obviously. Obviously, he's got to do it.
My neighbor had his wife in there. She was there for it. Yeah.
Wait.
Like
a
he was given, like we reversed roles and he was given birth. She was in there for it. She went in.
Did they hold hands?
No, she watched.
Did she get him ice chips?
They were like, do you want to watch? And she's like, yeah, why not? And like went in there and watched. Watch the procedure.
And yeah, some people said you can watch your own. Some people.
No, I'm not watching that.
Some people think that's neat. I don't know why you'd want
it. I haven't told my father yet. He doesn't know. Well, he might know now, but he doesn't know yet. He might try to talk me out of it.
Well, okay.
I'm done. It's happening now. It's going down.
About that, there were some people in my life who were doing the, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, this needs to be done. This 100% needs to be done. And then somebody will plant that seed of doubt in you, and I don't know what that's all about.
What's the seed of doubt?
I don't know the psychology behind that.
I'm done.
I
want no more.
You know when you're done. I don't need to leave any wiggle room and have, you know, Mason have another, you know, little brother, little sister 10 years from now.
Yeah, I'm hanging up the guns, man. We're done.
Yeah, I'm already going to be, you know, using a cane at graduation. Like, I don't need to think about that.
You're old.
Yeah, you are old. You don't want to do that. So do I just come out and say what it is all the time? Or can I just procedure to me sounds a little bit more serious than what it is. Like, it's not serious enough to have a procedure or surgery or anything like that. But it's also, I don't like saying the word.
I am on Cleveland Clinic right now. It says vasectomy, procedure, recovery, effectiveness. And it's telling you how to do it all. But it's the first word. Everything is procedure.
And I wouldn't use the term pain. I did not experience pain. It was more just an odd, quick little pressure feeling.
That's what he said. He said you'll feel like you'll feel a short amount of pressure and then you won't feel anything.
Yeah.
And I says, okay.
And I almost was giggling through it. That was like my defense mechanism. I was like, I can't believe this is happening right now.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is something that, man, around March Madness. Hey, come on, fellas. Let's get them in here. Used to be a commercial in some markets. They'd have commercials trying to get people in the door for it. And it was just kind of bizarre to me. And I'm like, now I'm washed up. I'm officially washed up. I cannot contribute to society anymore after this.
Well, somebody said, like, why didn't you get it done during March Madness? And I had said, well, then it feels like it's a chore to sit there and watch the games if I don't want to watch all the games.
Right. You don't love college basketball that much.
I feel like I have to watch basketball if it happens during that time. Friday, I can do whatever I want afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm just sit there and I can watch The Godfather. I can watch anything. I can watch baseball. I can watch anything that's really out there. Yes, Owen?
Just a quick AI overview.
Oh,
procedure is a general term for medical intervention that can be surgical or non-surgical. Operation specifically refers to a specific procedure that involves altering the body.
Twitter reactions brought to you. Well, so I guess I can call it a procedure then, right?
Yeah, it's just a procedure, man.
Brandon on Twitter. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Says, Ken, do it live on the air, buddy. No, I actually wanted to do that.
Yeah, I
with
think
our
bosses.
Old, my old, our old boss, Tom Herschel.
We were going to do it together. We were going to hold hands.
We were going to do it together. Yeah. Honest to God story. And he like pulled me aside. He goes, are you a psycho? And I'm going, no, I'll do it for on-air content. I don't care.
It would have been an all-timer
said,
for us
you
to do
said
it together.
The person performing this listens to the show, right?
Yes, he does.
I hope to hell he didn't listen this morning and he goes in and does the procedure, and then another person comes in 45 seconds later and goes,
okay,
we have a vasectomy. Gets right in there.
Okay, I do have a question.
What?
Since you there's no March Madness.
No.
It's kind of a, I don't want to use the term that radio hosts use. In fact, we were warned not to use it about this time period of the year on the sports calendar. Let's just say the frequency of events is not what it is during other
times. We've been told it's the busiest sports summer ever.
It actually was. A couple of years ago, that was
the
busiest sports summer.
Can't play that now. It's a different voice. Got to find the new voice guy.
That was an all-timer. To hear that on the air,
during COVID,
stopped it in its tracks. 120 days of no sports.
I think he did that just to do that. It
was
pretty
good. If that's why he did it. But since we have none of that for you to watch, and you're bringing up movies, 216-474-0092, what should Ken watch? What movies, what shows? I mean, off the top of my head, Boogie Nights.
I've seen Boogie Nights recently enough to...
This
holds a little different context after.
This is going to be something you can't do for the next... for a period of time. So, you know, get your mind thinking about that. There's the John Bobbitt story.
Oh, of course. That was a made-for-TV movie, I believe.
Yeah, you should watch that.
Can't believe Tom called me a psycho.
Any Val Venus match in the 1998?
Val Venus, that's right.
Deep Throat behind the green door. Either one of those two. Matt in Painesville, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, Ken. How you doing, man?
Doing well, Matt. Go ahead.
Well, I am happy to hear that Lima had a great experience, but mine not so much. I don't know if you really want to hear this, but I'll tell you anyway.
Here come the horror stories.
Go ahead.
Here they come.
Floor is yours.
When I was sitting there at the table and had my legs up or whatever, that numbing agent they use, they started doing their little incision and stuff, and I looked at my doctor and I said, "Am I supposed to feel that?" And he said, "No." And so that continued on to they finished up. I couldn't walk right for about 3 weeks afterwards.
Right.
Since then, I've had about an infection down there every 6 to 8 months.
And this
is December of 2020.
All right, so. Matt, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you back on
bringing
hold.
Bringing all new meaning to Painesville.
I'm going
to
put you back on hold. And I'm going to have you, if Mitch is listening, I want Mitch to pick up after I put you on hold because I want you to tell Mitch where you got it done and the doctor who did it. Don't say it on the air. Don't say it on the air. I'm going to put Matt. Thank you.
He's retired anyway. You're good.
Oh, he's retired. Oh, then the hell with it. Okay. Then I don't got to waste any more of your time.
You won't have him.
Okay. Matt, thank you very much for the call. Unless he wants to do a comeback tour. Unless he's want to scratch that shit. It's like Tom Brady. And I'd be the first one.
We can have him watch Orgasmo.
Oh, that's
a great movie. Now you're a man. That's a great movie. I mean, I watch. There's seductive parts of The Godfather at the wedding. James Caan upstairs, Sonny upstairs. I mean, that's other than that. There's nothing actually seductive in it. And Carlo and the missus. That no, no way, no sir. I'm
got one for you.
What?
Remove your clothes.
Perfect.
Or would you like us to do it for you?
Perfect. And absolutely perfect. Which he doesn't have sex in that movie.
No.
That's the weird thing about it. He's on this quest and he never gets it. He might get killed by the Illuminati, but he never gets it. So yeah, I'm distracted and I'm sorry. I apologize to Zach. I apologize. I'm probably going to do the same thing with Anthony Castrovince.
I'm excited
coming up at 9:22.
Now. I'm extra excited for the Anthony Castrovince.
All right. Coming up, we were going to get to this here, and then obviously it's taken over. Now there's a bunch of people who want to get it together here with me. Okay. I'm not going to tell. I don't know the time yet. I'm not going to tell you the place. It's coming. But it's happening on Friday. It's coming around on Friday. You back in on the Gardos?
I will say it was very nice. Very nice to have that stretch. And I know the Astros had a bunch of injuries, whatever. And then you play the White Sox. But it's nice to see they're capable of winning games. Because during that 10-game losing streak, we were saying things like lost season. We had nonstop callers saying, sell the team. Here we go again. And I'm just like, man, this is going to be a long second half of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a rough situation. There's still changes. I think there's still changes people want to see. I look at Kyle Manzardo. I know that they could have won the game. They could have swept the doubleheader, which meant they would have swept the entire series and would have won like 7 in a row or whatever it was. Had he been able to pick the ball, I know he's not great at first base. I still think he deserves a play every day. The Terry Pluto story about that Carlos Santana probably isn't going to be traded. You know, you play Nolan Jones every day. You get excited over singles with Nolan Jones. He's supposed to be a guy. And I was listening to Dairy Brothers overnight, and I mean, they were as right as rain as possibly could be. Like, you get a guy who's supposed to be a power hitter. He doesn't really hit for power. He hits for singles if he gets a hit. You're still batting him high in the order there. Like, you're still doing things that I think annoy a lot of people, but I also think it's going to look a lot better because you're going to be playing some terrible teams in the second half. The Emmanuel Clase stuff, I think that the opinions have changed. I mean, if you can make any sort of run, you're 4.5 games back of the third wild card spot. You're still way out of the division. That's just a non-starter there. You're 4.5 games out of the wild card spot to start this morning. I mean, you have an opportunity, and I think you're going to have an opportunity because you're playing some terrible baseball teams. So I think it might stop them from letting some people go, but I also want them to look forward for this franchise. You know, with David Fry, Owen and I were discussing it even earlier during the break. When's David Fry available to catch?
I don't think he's supposed to play in the field this year.
I thought it was a whole year.
At all? Because if he's able, because
there was talks originally, like, we'll put him at first base. That way he didn't have to throw that often.
That may be fine.
Couldn't even do that.
That may be fine. It's just, he's so bad. Naylor is so bad. And I don't know what
and
his option situation is.
He's not a defensive catcher either.
No.
It's one thing to not hit, but you're a defensive catcher.
He's not good. But exactly. He's not good defensively. That. At least Austin Hedges is good defensively. Right. So at least Austin Hedges, who is a guy that I called a $4 million mascot last week when I was really mad at the Guardians on Monday, which I take that back. I shouldn't have said that. I was angry. At least Austin Hedges is defensive. So Bo Naylor, not good defensively, and then gets a hit by accident once every 10 times. So I can't make an argument for Bo Naylor. It's like there's holes there. There's holes in other spots in the order. Like, there's still some problems there. But if you're going to be playing all these bad teams, it's going to look a hell of a lot better. Because I don't see the Guardians being anywhere nearly as bad as some of these teams coming up on the schedule. I mean, you have teams that have just packed it in. Teams that you didn't think were going to be good at all this year coming into this season. And then there's been teams that are packing it in. Like, you don't really have a challenge. I'm thinking, what, until a couple of weeks out when you play the Mets? I think you got a three-game series against the Mets on the weekend. Other than that, you got a lot of teams that are just farts.
Teams left on the schedule, right? They got three with the Rockies, six with the White Sox, three with the Athletics when they come back, three with the Braves, four with the Orioles, three with the Marlins. Like, there's a lot of baseball to be won. And then they have six with the Tigers, but that's six with the Tigers. And that's a team they've actually been very good against. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you that the division, don't even look at it now. They were 15 and a half games back this time last week. They're 12 back now. They knocked off 3.5 games in a week. That's not going to happen every week.
Yeah, I'm just looking for the wild. I'm looking for the wild card.
Have to. It's 4.5.
Yeah.
You just have there. It's easier to catch the division if the top team slides and you have the streak. There's less teams to go through. It's just one team that you're chasing. But
yes.
It's only 4.5 games for the Wild Card.
I think a lot of things are still, and I think getting to the postseason is still something you should celebrate. It's a long baseball season. It's hard. I mean, again, you lost 10. It's 10 in a row at one point. Yeah. If you were able to battle back and get in the Wild Card in the second half, you could say the rest of the American League sucks, and I don't think you'd be wrong, but still getting in the postseason is getting in the postseason, and it cools my Jets, and it cools a lot of other people's Jets about strong front office decisions. Selling the team, I don't think that conversation's ever going away. But about the front office decisions and who to keep, who to let go of, I think it cools a couple of people off about that. But there's definitely some things that I want to see done differently here. And another thing that I totally agree with what the Derry brothers had said, this whole Cade Smith business is fishy to me, and I want to ask Anthony Castrovince about that at 9:22 this morning. And the whole, there's teams that they could possibly trade for Cade Smith, and I'm thinking, I don't think the Guardians are interested in trading away Cade Smith at all.
They still have
over it. Yeah, I think there's teams that are interested in trading for him, certainly, and I think they kind of want to speed it up on that process, but I don't think the Guardians have any interest in trading him away.
Well, it's the Class A thing, too, that they have him under the contract that they do. But again, you know, if you could turn Class A into full-time outfielder,
And really, if you can turn him into a catcher that hits...
Yeah, well, there's another one.
That's a big deal there because you do have, although we've never seen him, you know, DeLotter is down there and he is an outfielder, and they did just draft some outfielders that are going to hit at some point in the next
four years. He has wrist soreness now, DeLotter does.
It's time to take a break.
Wrist soreness.
They're going to take a break this week. He'll be okay.
They were probably thrilled to give everybody that news, knowing how they are.
Probably just put that one on mute and...
Move it on. 216-474 to below 92. Quinshon Judkins is in hot water. Story is broken over the weekend. I was watching, of all the things, I was watching a movie with the neighbors. We saw The Contractor. Not that great. But we were watching a movie. I left my phone upstairs. I went upstairs, used the bathroom, checked my phone, saw about 15 different messages, went, oh, God in heaven. So the story about Quinshon Judkins comes out. His defense attorney has spoken. Here is what his defense attorney said during the initial hearing yesterday in Broward County.
It happened on July the 7th, according to the arrest affidavit. She didn't report it until the 12th. There was some type of a spectacle that she got involved in. And it wasn't until after that that you made this after-the-fact report. Well, the A-form suggests that there are photos and bruising. There's no proof as to when those bruises took place.
So there's a lot of folks getting in about this, and we got a lot of fat locks on the internet saying, well, these charges, I don't know what's going to stick or what's not going to stick when it comes to these charges. I'm not even talking about a court of law. If he's found guilty over time, or if they go to trial with this or anything, then we could talk about court of law, I should say. But as of right now, it's something that the Browns didn't need, that he didn't need. And if we're talking about it, save from the legalities of this, it's something that if this is misdemeanor domestic violence, wasn't in, and Zach was talking to us about this, and I know I was distracted, but Zach was talking about this. The Mike Hall situation was done within 5 weeks. The NFL could still come down very strongly on this just for putting yourself in a situation. So as of right now, I'm going to operate as if Quinshon Judkins is going to be available for the foreseeable future. Plus, he's not even signed to a contract.
Boy, and that's the sticky part of it. I know Zach did mention that, you know, your other second rounder, you know, did get the guarantees. So it seemed like a pretty obvious case, but it wasn't because he's not signed yet. So you do wonder about that, and maybe he just loses some leverage in all of this. I hope, obviously, that, you know, this situation is not as bad as immediately, you know, you jump to conclusions. Everybody does. Anytime you see domestic with somebody that you're following, I mean, really, it shouldn't matter if it's an athlete or someone, you know, in society. Anytime you see domestic, you hate to see it because it means that lives are, you know, obviously the stakes are high and there's something unfortunate that transpired. And we don't know. We weren't there. Most recently, we heard the defense attorney and the case that he's making. So, and it's your standard, he said, she said situation. And so we're not jumping to conclusions on that. The conclusion we do jump to is hopefully he'll be available. Like, hopefully these things didn't happen or they're not as bad as what you initially thought they might be. And that he can get on the football field in due time because missing the time in camp, like we had Zach said it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. You don't want to start behind the eight ball.
I mean, this was supposed to be the guy that was, I don't know if there's any replacing Nick Chubb, but this was the guy that was supposed to step in and take over this role. And you're not only doing that, you're not only losing him, you also are putting Jerome Ford in a disadvantage where he's a third down back type of guy. And so you're putting him at a disadvantage here, and maybe you're putting Dylan Sampson in an unfair situation as well. When it comes to the law, I don't think there's any good outcome of this. If he actually did do something, which we don't know, then my God, he's done something repugnant. If he didn't do anything, which again, we do not know, well then again, we have to have conversations about victim blaming and believing people and things like that, which all of it's bad, all of it's ugly. So I don't want to have that conversation at all. We might have to at some point, but as of right now, I look at it from an NFL standpoint. They basically threw the book at Mike Hall, and Mike Hall's season was basically lost. I mean, and then he got hurt at the end of it, but his season was basically lost. And now you come in with questions into this year of, I mean, you mentioned it yourself. This is a pivotal year for Mike, because if Mike goes out there and he plays well, okay, you might be willing to hold on to this guy, and he's got to obviously do everything off the field that's right as well. We haven't heard anything off the field, so hopefully things are getting better with him. But if you have a season where he is in the margin somewhere as a defensive tackle, if you make changes after this year, you know, that's one of those things that people talk about, like, hey, you know, the old regime took this guy because they make big sweeping changes. Maybe we don't need this guy within our locker room there. So that's an unfortunate thing. It becomes a very big conversation in a pressure-packed year for that guy. And with Quinshon Judkins, I would think the same way, because you were supposed to be a part of this offense. It's a 12 personnel, probably run-heavy offense, being able to take the pressure off whoever quarterback you got. If he's not there, if he's not available because of all this silliness, then, again, that goes against your general manager, whether it's fair or not. This isn't fair to Andrew Berry, but it's the truth of the matter. It's another thing that people will throw against him when they are making their arguments to let him go. When fans are upset, and I think that a lot of fans feel, I mean, good God, how much more evidence do you need? Fair. But I think when fans are calling in after a Browns loss this year, and they are adding up all the things of why they want to let guys go, this, even though it's, there was nothing there that said anything about Quinshon Judkins being a problem off the field before this. Nothing there. Doesn't matter if it's fair. It matters that it's going to happen. So I could say, like, hey, I don't want to hold this against Andrew Berry. You have to hold it against Andrew Berry. It's his draft pick. Because no matter what, I think a lot of people were sitting there thinking, well, you had Trayvon Henderson right there you could have taken. You had Trayvon Henderson right there that you could have taken. You didn't take Henderson.
I can't lie. I thought he was the better player coming out of college.
And a lot of other people
but
did.
It wasn't like
Zach even mentioned a lot of people
yeah,
did.
Yeah, it wasn't like I had him way ahead or anything like that. But he was the guy I liked more. They took the other one. I still had high hopes, and I still do. I just can't get to the point where I'm putting this in the same classification as Mike Hall, because Mike Hall, there were some warning signs. I remember Albert Breer mentioned it before the draft that some teams had him as undraftable. Nobody had that in this situation.
Can you count this against Andrew Berry? 216-474-0092. I think in case-by-case basis, you wouldn't, but I think in this situation, when everybody puts it together, I think they will. I think it becomes another argument just that's used against him. And it messes up the offense. It's another question that the organization has to answer. It's another thing that Andrew Berry has to answer to. And this one, you just said it. There were questions about Mike Hall coming out. There were. I don't think there were any questions about Quinshon Judkins coming out. I didn't think that at all we would have anything like this. I was really shocked on Saturday night when this came out. Really shocked. But this is 2 years in a row of a second round pick being in trouble. And you don't have still a lot of picks. So you have to make every single pick count as best you possibly can, especially day two picks. And if you can't get that guy to work out for you because either he's got himself in trouble or he's just not a good enough football player, whether it's fair or not, you're going to have to answer for it. And he's going to have to answer to it. This is from Tyler Dunn's interview with me yesterday, Saturday morning on Infinity Sports Network. Did you get to listen to it at all?
I actually did. I did. I was waiting for
you
the...
You listened to some of it?
I was waiting for... Well, I had the kids right in front of the TV. We found it. I didn't know how to get the Odyssey set up on the TV, and eventually we figured it out. And we were waiting at 9 o'clock. Was it 9 o'clock? When did you have Pony on?
I had Pony at 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were waiting for the explosive conversation.
He was agreeable. He was very agreeable, and it kind of threw me off. He said a lot of things that I've been saying about the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last 18 months. Like, he agreed with me. He didn't necessarily agree. I know it got out there on the internet. He didn't agree with me on the whole TJ Watt, Myles Garrett thing. That got clipped by somebody and taken differently. But he agreed with a lot of what I was... Well, what's the matter? What are you shaking your head for, Owen? You just talk about Pony agreeing with me?
Do the show.
Oh, you were shaking your head. I thought you wanted to say something on the air. I'm sorry.
I will sit here like a statue from
now
on.
Tyler Dunn.
You are my Medusa.
Tyler Dunn joined me an hour earlier in that show on Infinity Sports Network, and he had a zesty little nugget.
I mean, for so long in Green Bay, you could see it from the press box. Oh, this is going to be a touchdown because he's going to make that guy miss. He's going to know where you're vulnerable on the back. End. He's going to get outside the pocket, and he's going to create. He's going to improvise. He's going to make a play with Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams. He can't make that play anymore. He's got to be a pocket, timing-based, quick-game passer, and I just don't see that being effective, especially in the division. I mean, give me the Cleveland Browns plan at quarterback over Pittsburgh at this point, because at least there's a little forward thinking.
I don't want to say I agree with him because I don't want to be taken as a homer. Of course, I've done all this work over 14 years. What the hell is one more argument, right? Because the Browns plan, why I say I'd rather have the Browns plan is it comes with a caveat of a second first-round draft pick next year. I don't think that can be understated. Like, the Steelers are never that bad. We are at times that bad. The Steelers are not never really that terrible. And I happen to hear what he's saying, and I think the Steelers are not, and this is what Pony was saying where I agree with him on, or he agreed with me. The Steelers are like in, but they're not all in. Their goal is to win a playoff game, apparently, and I'm going, man, you've brought in Aaron Rodgers. That shouldn't be your goal. Your goal should be to go for a Super Bowl, or if not, then what is this all for? Then it should be Mason Rudolph and then Will Howard. It shouldn't be him, yes.
Well, are they talking about a future in Pittsburgh? Because at least right now in Cleveland, you can talk about a future. I don't know if it's bright or not, but there's a potential at a future right now.
Here's how, because I thought what he said was crazy about the, like, he made it sound like, I'm talking about Tyler Dunn, right?
Yeah.
he made it sound like right now the Browns have a better quarterback situation than the Steelers. Well, I don't agree with that. I think Aaron Rodgers is better than anything we have. But if you wanted to say that we have the better mechanism to get the quarterback of the future than they do, well, that's true because we
Will Howard needs a year on the bench and then he's going to come in and be the next thing, right? Or Mason Rudolph is going to be the next thing. You know?
Which is funny because we had fans that wanted Will Howard really bad.
Oh, there's people who want to say that about Will Howard.
And they wanted him more than Shador Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. Correct.
There's reasons why.
There's people who are willing to say that about Will Howard, but this is my issue, and this is why I will take the Browns quarterback situation. I think the Browns quarterback situation is more based in reality than what the Steelers are. Because you're not all the way in. If you were all the way in, that you would talk about being real and you would just sign TJ Watt to the money and say, damn the torpedoes. You don't bring in Aaron Rodgers just to go to the middle. You don't bring in Aaron Rodgers just to make the playoffs and win a single playoff game. For what reason? What reason does that give anybody? You could go to the play. Guys, it's the Steelers. Mason Rudolph could turn around and hand the ball off to somebody, and they would still be, maybe they would be not a playoff team, but they would still be 9-8, maybe 8-9, but I don't think they would go under 500. So why do you bring in Aaron Rodgers? Why do you leave out TJ Watt? See, that's my issue, why I think, yeah, you know what, I'd rather the Browns quarterback situation, even though I'm hearing from Zach when he's on with us, the stuff I was paying attention to because I'm an ass, but the stuff that Zach said about Kenny Pickett, where, yeah, Kenny Pickett could be the first guy cut. He could also be the week one starter. That doesn't give me much thought in what the Browns are able to do this year. If there's an odd man out in the quarterback room, who is it?
Based on what I think right now and who it would be, that would be Kenny Pickett. But I think it's way too early to say that with any, because, like, I guess I won't be stunned if Kenny Pickett's the week one starter. I think it's fair to wonder if Shador will ever play a real down. Do I think he has the talent to potentially be a starting quarterback in this league? Yes, but potentially, eventually, not this September.
So I hear what he says, and that doesn't give me any confidence in the season as it is. But in the grand scheme of things, if Aaron Rodgers is only there to get you to the middle, I still have two first-round picks I can work with, and I can go out and get my guy. Not named Arch Manning. I can go out and get my guy. Whoever that guy may be, there will be somebody in this draft class coming up worth taking wherever the Browns would be, and they'll make sure of it because they'll have an extra draft pick there.
Which is huge.
So,
yeah.
So that's why I have to say it's not me being orange or brown colored glasses. I think we'll split with the Steelers this year. I think we'll win one and lose one, probably lose one out there, win one here. I think that's probably how that's going to go because that's how it's been over the last 6 years with Kevin Stefanski. You win one, you lose one with him. But
he's the Steeler killer half the time.
Half the time. It's more than a lot of other guys were able to do, so, you know. But that's why it gives me a little bit more confidence in the Browns situation, why I want to agree with Ty Dunn. I think Ty's looking at it from 30,000 feet going, what team's better set up for future success? What team is doing that? And because the Steelers are not willing to go all in, I have to hold them back. And I have to agree with Tyler about it. The Browns are in a better situation long term at the quarterback position, it would seem, for a lot of people, unless I'm wrong. Just because the only reason you would say they're not better off for the future is because you are paying attention to the history altogether and you're not thinking about the future. History has told us many, many times over with a baseball bat over the head that the Steelers are in a much better situation at the position. But as they sit right now, unless Will Howard becomes the next big thing, and maybe he does, as they sit right now, the Browns are better positioned.
It's so funny. I had forgotten until this conversation that they had Will Howard. Which is so funny because
I love Will Howard.
The Will Howard thing with our fans, I think we got to certain levels of crazy because, hey, they watched a bunch of Buckeye fans here in Northeast Ohio watched and celebrated him go on a national championship run, and it had them almost give him like a 3-round bounce.
They wanted him at 33. Draft. Yeah.
Well, no, what I'm saying about Will Howard is I'm still worried like he could go out there and end up being good. I'm going by what the NFL is telling me right now. When you take him in the sixth round, the NFL is telling you that no, that he ain't going to be that guy, that he needs to focus on being a backup. Okay, we'll find out. So if I'm basing it on what the NFL is, okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the Browns situation better because I don't think it's about this year. And it's hard for me to believe after hearing Tyler, and you can hear that, in talking to Pony on Saturday morning, it's hard for me to believe that they're all in for this year, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if they're not, then what was all this for? You're not going to move on from Mike Tomlin if you don't have a season that goes to a playoffs. You're not going to move on from some of these guys. You're not going to. So why would you bring in any of the other? Why? Because Micah Fitzpatrick was upset. So you jettisoned him for Jalen Ramsey, who's also pretty upset. You're just going to switch those roles. It's nonsensical to me.
It is. I know we got
to
go.
So they have to be all in.
I almost feel like the NBA and the NFL have totally swapped, because we're sitting here having a discussion about like the Steelers, like they're going all in. But does anybody expect them to like be better than the Chiefs or the Bills? No, there's nothing they could do that would make you feel that way. That's how I felt about the NBA like 5 years ago. And now they've totally switched. Like the NBA, I think more teams think they can actually win the championship than there are even in the NFL. It feels like you're hopeless when you're in the same conference as Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.